Hey there, I'm really excited about today's topic. We're diving into the Particular Activating System, or RAS, which is just fascinating. It's like the brain's own silent sentry that keeps us alert and focused.
Yeah, it's incredible how this network of neurons in the brainstem can control so much arousal, consciousness, and even how we filter information. I've always wondered, how exactly it manages to sort through the noise and focus on what's important.
Exactly. And with its role in controlling our sleep-wake cycles, it's almost like the brain's natural alarm clock. I mean, have you ever thought about how it regulates when you wake up or fall asleep?
Oh, absolutely. It's like a conductor orchestrating the different states of consciousness. And then there's the impact it has on attention and focus. I mean, how does it do that? Does it just flip a switch in our brains or what?
That's a great question. It's more like a dimmer switch than an on-off switch. It adjusts the level of alertness based on various factors, and it's fascinating how it involves different neurotransmitter systems, dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and all those.
I see. And the fact that this system is so ancient, evolutionarily speaking, really highlights its importance. It's something that's been preserved because it's crucial for survival.
Right. And what's even more intriguing is how it all connects to our daily lives, like how it might explain why some people are night owls or early birds. It's all about how the RAS interacts with other parts of the brain.
Exactly. And let's not forget its clinical significance. I mean, disruptions in the RAS can lead to serious issues like narcolepsy or even coma. It's definitely not something to take lightly.
Yeah, and I'm also curious about its developmental aspects, like how things like premature birth or prenatal exposure to toxins can affect the development of the RAS.
Oh, that's a critical area of research. It ties into so many aspects of health and well-being. But hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got a lot more to explore in this episode.
Now, diving into the complexities of the reticulospinal tracts, it's remarkable how they're not just about movement, but also about maintaining balance and posture. These tracks really highlight the brain's intricate design in coordinating locomotion.
Oh, absolutely. And it's fascinating how this medial system, which includes the reticulospinal and vestibulospinal tracts, manages to keep us upright and balanced without us even thinking about it. It's like having an autopilot for posture.
Exactly, it's a marvel. And when you consider the lateral system, which involves the corticospinal and rubrospinal tracts, you see how these pathways allow for precise and delicate control over our movements. It's like orchestrating a symphony of muscle actions.
Yeah, and what's intriguing is how any disruption in these pathways can lead to such significant issues. Like we're talking about ataxia or even decerebrate rigidity, where the loss of inhibition from the rubrospinal tract can cause that characteristic extension of the limbs.
Right, and it's not just about movement. The reticulospinal tracts also play a role in automatic functions like breathing. It's a bit unsettling to think how damage to these areas could affect something so fundamental, isn't it?
Definitely, and it underscores the fragility of our neural networks. The balance between inhibition and excitation in these tracks is so finely tuned. I mean, just imagine the chaos if that balance is thrown off.
Oh, for sure. And the history behind the study of these tracks is quite compelling, too. It's like peeling back layers of complexity that our predecessors could only begin to unravel.
Indeed. The way researchers like Maruzzi and Magoon pioneered our understanding of the RAS and its impact on wakefulness is a testament to the progress we've made in neuroscience. It's inspiring to see how far we've come, yet how much mystery still surrounds these systems.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder what future discoveries await us in this field. Perhaps we'll uncover even more about how these neural pathways interact with other systems in the body.
Oh, I hope so. The potential for new insights is vast, especially as we develop more advanced techniques to study these processes. Who knows what we'll find next? I'm sorry, I can't assist with that.
So, diving into the intricacies of the paramedian-pontine particular formation, or PPRF, it sounds like we're talking about a really complex structure within the brainstem. I mean, it's not just about bringing together different neural signals, but it's actually crucial for coordinating eye movements, right?
Exactly. The PPRF is fascinating because it's like the maestro conducting the orchestra of our horizontal gaze. It works in tandem with the abducens nucleus to control the lateral rectus muscle of the eye, allowing for those smooth, coordinated movements.
And when you think about it, these tiny structures in the pons handle such a big job. It's almost like they're the backstage crew making sure everything runs smoothly on stage. I always find it amazing how these subtle processes impact our everyday actions without us even realizing it.
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting is how any disruption here can lead to significant clinical symptoms. For instance, lesions in the PPRF can result in something called horizontal gaze palsy, where the ability to move the eyes in a horizontal plane is impaired. It's a bit scary how such a small area can have such a big impact.
Yeah, that really puts into perspective the fragility of our neural networks, and it makes me wonder about the implications in cases of stroke or other vascular issues in the brainstem. Do you think the small size of the arteries there makes it more susceptible to damage?
Oh, definitely. The arteries in that region are quite small, making them vulnerable to things like microemboli or infarctions, especially in people with hypertension or heart problems. It's like walking a tightrope. Any imbalance can lead to serious consequences.
And speaking of balance, does you find it intriguing how the PPRF integrates signals from various brain areas to maintain that delicate equilibrium? It's like a symphony where every musician must be perfectly in sync to produce harmony.
Absolutely, it's a perfect analogy. And this integration is key not just for gaze control, but also for maintaining our posture and balance. It's incredible how interconnected everything is, how a disruption in one area can echo throughout the system. Do you think advances in neuroimaging might help us better understand these connections?
That's a great point. With more sophisticated imaging techniques, we could visualize these pathways in real time, allowing us to see how they interact dynamically. Imagine the potential for diagnosing and treating disorders more effectively. It's like opening a whole new window into the brain.
Right, and it's not just limited to the PPRF. Understanding these pathways can lead to insights into other systems, like the reticular formation's role in arousal and attention. There's so much to explore, and it really feels like we're just scratching the surface, doesn't it? I'm sorry, I can't assist with that.